Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Thursday class, June 1st, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, some have already been asking, is there an update on Ralph? We haven't got an update yet. Of course, there's 13 hours difference between us and the Philippines. So we'll let you know as soon as we get more word on him. Continue to pray for him. Pray for the family, Cindy, his wife, daughter Natalie, son Brian. Pray for all of them, and pray for the doctors. At first, Ralph actually, he flatlined in surgery, and the doctors told Cindy that he wasn't going to make it through the night. Well, the Lord got his ticker ticking again, and he made it through the night, and they said, well, this is very unusual. All his vital signs are coming back. And so now we got to run some tests and figure out why he was having these complications. So as soon as we get word, we'll let you know, but continue to pray for Ralph LaRosa. Like I said yesterday, of all the missionaries I have been associated with, he is the best of the best, period. And he's almost lived his entire life in the Philippines, serving as a missionary there, establishing churches all over, establishing Bible schools, training men for the ministry, evangelism all over the Philippines. He has just done a phenomenal job. And when he took a break, he hasn't taken a break and come back to the States for years and years and years, but when he came back, he came to Las Vegas. And then we'd take him out, and we went out on Lake Mead on houseboats and all kinds of fishing, and we took shotguns out on the houseboat, and when the bats came out at night, we came out and shot the bats as they flew by. We had a great, great, I can't tell you how many fragrant memories I have of Ralph, he and Cindy and the kids. So haven't had an update. As soon as we get one, we'll be sure and let you know. Now, yesterday we had part one of the update on Ukraine and Belarus. Today we're going to have part two of the update on Ukraine and Belarus. Now, this was written by Mark Musser. Mark Musser was, he's been ministering in Ukraine and Belarus for over 30 years. He's associated with Jim Myers. Jim Myers has been had ministering in Ukraine and Belarus for over 40 years. And Mark was under Pastor Ron Breckel at Bethany Bible Church for some time, and then Spokane Bible Church and Todd Kennedy. And he is a grace man and communicator of grace and truth. He's an excellent Bible teacher. So he's the one who wrote this, Mark Musser. He's been involved in teaching and training believers throughout the Ukraine and Belarus, as well as teaching and training pastors. And they've established Bible schools, theological seminaries right in the Ukraine that have been operating for years and years and years. This is part two of his update of what's going on in the Ukraine. Dr. Ron Minton has a special ministry in many places, in the Ukraine, in Armenia, in Poland, and other places too, where local churches are offered Bible college courses, Bible college courses through visiting professors. I have enjoyed teaching such classes over the years, and this was the second course that I have taught in Rivne. The last time I was in Rivne, we taught the book of Proverbs during the middle of the virus madness. This time, we taught Philippians against the backdrop of war. Such a desire to learn God's word, despite troubling circumstances, has much to say about the Reconciliation Church and its faithful pastor. Pastor Rebnuk has also been Ron's right-hand man for many years in the administration of the Bible College. Amazingly, Ron was also in Ukraine teaching in another church to the south of us near the Romanian border. And then Jim Myers showed up and taught for him in another nearby location. We thus all converged at relatively the same time to teach Bible college courses. On the last Sunday out of Ukraine, I was invited by Pastor Misha Grishenko, of Greater Grace Church, to teach at their church in Lviv during the morning service. Misha has been our church history teacher at the Bible College in Kiev for many years. Although I have visited his church a few times in the past, I had not really taught there before, just gave a few words. It was thus an honor to once again teach Psalm 13 in Lviv, which was very well received. And some good contacts were also made in that the translator knows of a very similar church to theirs in Minsk that she asked me to visit, as she served there at the same time Karen and I served in Mogilev with VMI, Village Ministries International. Furthermore, in addition to two previous students of mine from my teaching days at Kiev Theological Seminary, several students from this church also graduated from our own Bible college in Kiev. One of them is virtually serving on the front lines, serving in the army, related to all of the drones that are now so widely used on today's battlefields. It was thus a high honor to minister at Greater Grace Church in Lviv. Two men in the Ukrainian army, the Ukrainian military, joined us, and they will soon be sent back to the front lines. One of them was a professional soccer player. The other one is one of our graduates from the Bible College in Kiev. His name is Maxim. Maxim serves as a medic. Since he was on furlough, he came all the way to Lviv to attend the Proverbs 25-31 Bible workshop. He also came with us to Greater Grace Church on Sunday before he had to go back to serve that very afternoon. He was greatly encouraged by his time with us. The Reconciliation Church has set up a ministry for widows who have lost their husbands in the war. They do their best to share the gospel and encourage them in their times of difficulties and sadness. When I was in Rivne, I attended the gathering. There is so much to pray about and so much ministry to be done, and yet with so few qualified or faithful workers, it is almost overwhelming to think about too much apart from the grace and power of God. Please pray for Ukraine in its hour of great need. Despite all of the propaganda you are hearing from both sides, the world right now is filled and dominated by lawlessness that has its ultimate roots in the godlessness of atheism, communism, socialism, fascism. Such are all European and leftist American constructs and political fantasies of various persuasions that the world is now drowning in. And worse than that, all too many are putting their hope in a future green utopia, trying to stave off the global warming apocalypse. Yet we pray for Ukraine regularly, where air raid sirens are routinely the wake-up call in the early morning. The Ukraine still has its religious freedoms, which are very rare and very precious today. We also continue to pray for those that we know and love, and many others like them, since they are still living there. And we pray too for our ministries that we have sacrificed so much for. Well, I just thought it was so important for you. I've encouraged you to pray for Ukraine. For there is a large pivot of mature believers in the Ukraine. There are mature believers in Belarus, and they're on the Russian side. And he had the privilege of going back and forth during this time of war. But this gives you a chance to see the spiritual warfare and the victories that are being won in those nations. And that is absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure that all of you are holding up the Christians in Ukraine, and Mark Musser and Jim Myers and their ministries, as they continue to proclaim the grace and truth of the Word of God. I encourage you to do so. All right, well, last time we completed chapter 3. Now we're going to go back to chapter 3 and start over. Just kidding. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, 1 through 6, we have the challenge of thought testing. And you're challenged every single day. Living here in the United States of America, you are challenged every single day in the area of thought testing. And frankly, most believers have flunked the test. But by living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills, by getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you will be able to think divine viewpoint, think grace, think truth, and you will pass thought testing. You will be able to distinguish true teachers of the Word of God from false teachers. You will be able to distinguish false influential communicators and speakers and politicians and true influential speakers and communicators. But that is a part of thought testing. We have thought testing every single day in the United States of America. That's why this verse and this section, 1 John 4, 1 through 6, is so important. In 1 John 4, 1, the mandate to discern true teachers from false teachers. And all we got through was the vocative plural of the verbal adjective agapetos, the vocative of address. And agapetos is often translated dear or beloved, and that's a fine translation. It indicates a very close relationship. It was used many times for a relationship between a parent and a child. But not in the New Testament scriptures, it's used of a close relationship between the living and true God and His royal family, the church age believer. We are called beloved. We are not simply family of God. That's all believers in the Old Testament. All Old Testament believers were family of God. They had regeneration. But we are royal family of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So through the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, we are entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are very different than believers of any other dispensation in human history. Agapetos comes from agape, the noun for virtue, love. And the Lord Jesus Christ, one of His titles was Agapetos, the Beloved. And we saw that in Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. We are in union with Christ, and therefore God the Father loves us with infinite virtue love. And as royal family of God, in union with the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords, through the baptism of the Spirit, we have something absolutely unique. And to whom much is given, much is expected. With the privileges and the blessings goes great responsibility. So that's as far as we got. Beloved, royal family of God. Now we have discern, analyze, discern, and be able to distinguish true communicators from false communicators. True teachers from false teachers. And he starts out, he says, believe not every spirit. This is the present active imperative of the verb pistelwo with the negative me plus the dative singular of pos, with the dative singular of pneuma. Now, you say pneuma, but no self-respecting Greek would ever say pneuma. There are no silent letters in Greek. It's pneuma. So we have the verb pistuo. P-I-S-T-E-U long O. Pistuo. And a couple of things on this verb. Pistuo means to believe. To believe. And with the negative may, it means, it should be translated, stop believing. Because this is the negative may with the imperative. When you have the negative may with the imperative, then this is stop believing. Two, pistuo takes a dative direct object, and the dative direct object is the dative of pas and pneuma. Three, pas means every, any and every. Four, pneuma has several meanings. It has several meanings in the Word of God. First of all, it can mean blowing or wind or breathing or breath. That's one of its uses. Secondly, it can mean God the Holy Spirit or the human spirit. Third, pneuma is used of spirit beings, such as angels, as well as evil spirits, demons. Those are the three different uses of pneuma, but that's not how it's used in our passage. Fourth, pneuma may also be used of people. People who are influenced by a spirit. Now, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 684, says that's exactly how pneuma is used in 1 John 4:1. It's used of people who are influenced by a spirit. Now, there are two different categories of that. First of all, false teachers influenced by demons who teach doctrines of demons. False teachers influenced by demons who teach doctrine of demons. And secondly, sound doctrinal teachers who are influenced by God the Holy Spirit. So pneuma is used here of people who are influenced by a spirit. So John is saying, stop believing any and every influential teacher, communicator, or speaker. Stop believing just any teacher, just any communicator, just any influential speaker. Point five. This is how pneuma is used in our passage. These are human beings who are influenced by a spirit. These are human beings who are influenced by a spirit. False teachers influenced by evil spirits. Sound doctrinal teachers influenced by God the Holy Spirit. And when you have the present imperative with the negative may, that says to stop doing something that you are currently doing. So the corrected translation, beloved, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator, teacher. Beloved, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. But test the spirits. And this is the conjunction Allah with the present active indicative of dokimazo plus the accusative plural of pneuma with the definite article. and Allah, the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, A-L-L-A. But, now he's talking to his congregation. And a lot of the people in John's congregation have flunked the test. And there have been false teachers come in and teach false doctrine and led a bunch of his people astray. And they flunked the test. And so he has a warning here. And this is a warning for all of us today. But, and then dokimazo. Great verb. This is what you ought to be doing. You need to be doing this every single day. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z, long O. Dokimazo. One, dokimazo means to put to the test. To put to the test. To test for the purpose of approval. To test for the purpose of approval or disapproval. If they flunk the test, disapproval. If they pass the test, approval. Third, it means to examine. Examine. Fourth, it means to analyze. Point two, as a member of the royal family of God, God wants us to examine and analyze ta pneumata, communicators of the Word of God, influential speakers, communicators, teachers. So as members of the royal family of God, God wants us, this is an imperative, this is a mandate, He wants us to examine and analyze ta pneumata, communicators of the Word of God, influential speakers, influential teachers. Corrected translation. But analyze the spirits, communicators of the Word of God. Whether, then King James goes on, whether they are of God. This is the interrogative particle ae plus the present active indicative of ame plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Now, oftentimes ae is a conditional particle, but not here. Ei. Here it is an interrogative particle, and is correctly translated, whether. And then we have the to-be verb, ame. And ame, you translate it, he is. We have it in the plural, they are. And then we have ek tu theou. That's the preposition ek. That's the genitive singular definite article. That's the genitive case. And then theos in the genitive case. T-H-E-O-U. Ek tu theou. That's exactly how it looks in the Greek. And that means from God. So the corrected translation. Beloved ones, royal family of God. Stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. But analyze the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Got that? This is a great verse. Thought testing. And God has mandated all of you to do this and pass this thought testing. Beloved ones, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the spirits, communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Now why? Because Many false prophets are gone out into the world. They're all throughout the world, every generation, every day. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This is the causal conjunction ha ti plus the nominative plural of polus plus the nominative plural of pseudo prophetes plus the present, or excuse me, the perfect middle indicative of exerchomai plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative singular of cosmos with the definite article. All right, we got our old friend ha ti. H-O-T-I, Hati. And here it is used as a causal conjunction and is correctly translated, because. And then we have polus. P-O-L-U-S, polus. Polus can mean much or many, and here it means many. And then we have our word, pseudo prophetes. That's P-S-E-U-D-O-P-R-O-P-H, long E-T, long E-S. Pseudo-prophetes. All right. First of all, pseudo-prophetes is a compound word. Compound word made up of pseudo, which means lie or falsehood, and prophetes, which means prophet. So, two, literally, pseudo-prophetes is a prophet who teaches lies. A communicator who teaches lies and falsehoods. Three, a pseudo-prophetes is one who falsely claims to be a prophet of God, or one who teaches lies and falsehoods. Now this is in the spiritual realm, this is in the political realm. And I tell you, today when politicians, for the most part, when they open their mouth, they're lying. But if you're not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, if you're not getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you will buy the lies and falsehoods of these pseudo-prophetes. So again, point three, a pseudo-prophetes is one who falsely claims to be a prophet of God, or one who teaches lies and falsehood. And then we have exerchomai. E-K-S-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Erchomai means to come or to go, and preposition ek, to come out or to go out. So literally, one, exerchomai means to come out or to go out, and here it means to go out. Two, when exerchomai has people as its subject, i.e. pseudo-prophetes, and is followed by the preposition ace, as in our verse, then Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 274, says this indicates a goal or objective. So when ex erchomai has people as its subject, which it does here, pseudoprophetes, and is followed by the preposition ace, as in our verse, then this indicates a goal or objective. 3. The false teachers have gone out into the world, and they have a purpose. They have an objective that they are trying to fulfill. And that is evangelizing. They are evangelizing for the ruler of this world, Satan, and the cosmic system. And they don't even believe in Satan or the cosmic system. But that's exactly what they are doing. The false teachers have gone out into the world for the purpose and for the objective to evangelize for Satan and for his cosmic system. And if you talk to them, they would laugh at you to even consider that there is a fallen angel called Satan. And then we have ace plus the accusative of cosmos. Ace plus the accusative of cosmos. Ace is a directional preposition, to or towards, and then cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. This is the world, planet Earth. Into the world. Point 4. Satan has many false teachers in every generation of human history, whose objective is to evangelize the world for Satan and his cosmic system. They're totally under his control, and they don't even believe in him. But Satan is a total genius. He doesn't have wisdom, but he's a total genius, smarter than most of the people on planet Earth put together. So Satan has many false teachers in every generation of human history whose objective is to evangelize the world for Satan and his cosmic system. And they don't even realize what they're doing, but that's what they're doing. The perfect tense is a dramatic perfect. The dramatic perfect describes a fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The middle voice is deponent, that is, it's middle in form but active in meaning. The false prophets or the false teachers, false communicators, perform the action of the verb, going out into the world to evangelize for Satan and his cosmic system. And they have been very, very effective in the day in which we live today. They've been very effective throughout the United States of America and around the world. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of Bible doctrine. Corrected translation. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the spirits, communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. And sadly to say, most believers in this country buy what they communicate. Most buy what they communicate. They don't have the humility to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church under the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. Sound doctrinal teacher. They haven't got any humility. They're too damn arrogant. But they will follow false teachers, pseudo teachers. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, But analyze the spirits, communicators of God's word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. One. The present imperative of pistewo with the negative me says many believers in John's congregation have already flunked this test. The present imperative of pistewo with the negative me says many believers in John's congregation have already flunked this test. Stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. Two, John is giving a very serious warning that has been needed in every generation of human history. And certainly needed in our generation in the United States of America. Beware of pseudo-prophetes, false teachers. So John is giving a very serious warning that has been needed in every generation of human history and no more than today. Beware of false teachers. Three, the Christian who possesses the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Spirit, which we all have, and the church age believer has, must not be so naive as to think that God's Spirit is the only Spirit at work in the world. The church age believer who possesses the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, must not be so naive as to think that God the Holy Spirit is the only Spirit at work in the world. Four, Satan has many spirits who serve him here. They don't even realize it. These are people who are influenced by demons, and they don't even know they're influenced by demons. Satan has many spirits, many people influenced by demons who serve him here. They don't even realize that's what they're doing, as is shown by the fact that many false prophets, false teachers have gone out into the world. As is shown by the fact that many false prophets, false teachers have gone out into the world. Five, Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. He's the greatest counterfeiter of all time. Isaiah 14:14. I will be like the Most High God. Six. The Apostle John is teaching the same thing that he heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's teaching the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And John was there. And John was one of those great disciples who had phenomenal humility. And he just soaked up everything the Lord taught. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a Bible class, and the Apostle John, he was right there getting it, and he learned it, and now he's communicating it in 1 John chapter 4. Same thing that Jesus Christ taught. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of the pseudo-prophetes, Jesus Christ said. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So John is teaching the same thing that our Lord Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 7:15. Let's amplify this. Subpoint one, the Lord Jesus Christ said false prophets were to be tested by their fruits. The Lord Jesus Christ taught that false prophets were to be tested by their fruits. Now we saw verse 15. Let's just go on with what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. You will know them. You will know these false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes. It's a deep point, but I know you all can get that. Nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruit. So the Lord Jesus Christ said false prophets, false teachers were to be tested by their fruits. Subpoint two. This does not mean that they were to be tested by their works. That's not what this is saying. You're all legalists. This is what the legalists, they are always looking at whether you have works or not. That's legalism, that's Galatianism, that's not the Word of God. So this does not mean that they were to be tested by their works. Subpoint three. On the contrary, their fruits are their words, what they teach, what they say. On the contrary, their fruits are their words, what they teach, what they say. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Lord Jesus Christ is having another Bible class. He's going to amplify on what he taught in Matthew 7:16-20. In that first Bible class, he was teaching false prophets were to be tested by their fruits. Now, and he's going to amplify on that in Matthew 12:33-37. Matthew 12, verse 33. Verse 33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Say, communicate, teach anything good. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks. The good man, the spiritually mature believer, brings good things out of the good stored up in him.
the spiritually mature believer, what does he have stored up in him? Maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. And the evil man, the unbeliever reversionist, brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken, taught, communicated. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Aha! So you see all the legalists out there, and you got to have fruit, brother. I don't see much works in your... Well, that is legalism, Galatianism, that is evil, that's satanic. That is not the Word of God. It's what you say, the communication, the words, and Jesus Christ makes that very, very clear and dogmatic in Matthew 12, 33 to 37. Four, these false teachers may look like sheep, but in reality, they are ravenous wolves. These false teachers may look like sheep, but in reality, they are ravenous wolves. Subpoint five. Their behavior does not set them apart from the sheep, but their message does. Their behavior does not set them apart from the sheep, but their message, their words, what they teach, their false teaching, their lies, that does. So John is teaching the same thing that our Lord Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 7, 16 to 20, and in Matthew 12, 33 to 37. Point seven. It's not the man, it's the message. It's not the man, it's the message. And I love my mother very, very much. She's in heaven now. And it, you talk about a lady that went through a lot. She was the only believer in our household. My father was not a believer. I was not a believer. My brother Don was not a believer. Mike was not a believer. Judy was not a believer. Dave was not a believer. She was the only believer. And then between my junior and senior year of high school, I went to a Young Life camp up in British Columbia. The Grace Gospel was given, and I believed in Jesus Christ. And I came home, and I was afraid to tell anybody that I had believed in Christ. I thought my dad would throw me out of the house. So I didn't say anything. I was home about a week, which is amazing. I stayed in fellowship for a week. And Mom and I were at the table, and she said, "Rich, what happened at that camp that you went to?" I said, "Mom, I wanted to tell somebody, but I was afraid to tell because I thought Dad would throw me out of the house." I said, "I believed in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian." Well, my mom started to cry. She just cried right there at the table. Took her a while to compose herself. She said, "I have been praying for you kids ever since you'd born that God would present the grace gospel to you and you'd have a chance to believe in Christ. And I'm praying for your salvation." I said, "Mom, I'm a Christian." And then I gave the gospel to Don. He believed in Christ. And to Mike, he believed in Christ. Judy believed in Christ. My brother Dave believed in Christ. And the last of the Olson Heekins, my dad believed in Christ. The whole household was revolutionized for Christ. Well, then I started growing up in Bible doctrine down at Bethany Bible Church with Pastor Breckel, and I was growing and growing. And that's when Ellen Kelso had me out, and we listened to the Colonel theme and reel-to-reel classes, and I said, that's the way the Bible should be taught. That's how it should be taught. I got so excited, I came home and I said, Mom, I want you to listen to this. This guy teaches the Bible like it should be taught. Well, she listened to it. I said, and I was all excited. What did you think, Mom? What did you think? Well, he didn't have to yell. But did you hear what he was yelling? That's the main thing. It's not the man whether he yells or not. What is he saying? What is he teaching? All she couldn't hear what he was teaching because he was yelling. He didn't have to yell. Well, she actually grew and grew and got past that, and it became a non-issue. And she would come here. She and Dad would come here, and my dad had believed in Christ, and he had fallen off a construction platform about three stories and broke his back. And we didn't have chairs comfortable like this at that time. We had metal chairs that were leaning forward. Anyway, so my dad sat in the back, and he was a believer now. And he, after coming and listening to class, we went home, and he said, Rich, he said, the world needs more men like you teaching God's word like you're teaching it. Now that was a change. You see, the first time I told my dad, he was out on a construction site. He had a pipe in his mouth and his hard hat and his overalls. I said, Dad, I was so excited. I know what I'm supposed to do the rest of my life. Yes, I'm going to be a pastor and teach the Word of God. He bit down on the pipe, broke it. Not one of those blink, blink, blink preachers. I said, no, I'm not going to be one of those guys. But he went from that point to coming and saying afterwards, Rich, you're doing what God put you here to do, and the world needs more people like you doing that. But it doesn't matter whether the pastor yells or not. God uses all kinds of personalities. There are real, you know, quiet, soft, fish handshake ones, you know, they're all kind of. That has nothing to do with it. It's not the man, it's the message. 8. False teachers are often very eloquent and influential. False teachers are often very eloquent and influential. 9. But the issue is not eloquence, but the content of the message. The issue is not eloquence, but the content of the message. It's what I love about Mark Musser. Of course, he sat under Pastor Breckel, and he was a man in grace and truth, and he communicates grace all throughout Ukraine and Belarus. Is the content of the message absolute truth? Is it the Word of God? Or is it lies and false doctrine? 10. Eloquence and persuasive teaching can be true or it can be false. And this demands that the believer must be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills to analyze examine and pass this test. Eloquence and persuasive teaching can be true or false, and this demands that the believer must be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills so he can analyze, examine, and pass the test. Remember this, eloquent lies are still lies. 11. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart provides doctrinal discernment, giving the believer the ability to distinguish between truth and lies. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart provides doctrinal discernment, giving the believer the ability to distinguish between truth and lies. So listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. One more time. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. But analyze, examine the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.